Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. A man's belly, that's speaking to the very innermost being, the very innermost part of you, will be satisfied. You know, that's where we yearn for satisfaction. Sometimes people look to the flesh to be satisfied in spirit, but really only the Spirit of God can satisfy us in our inner man. Now, he uses the word in the English here, belly, because in the natural, with food, you would eat until you're satisfied, generally speaking. If you don't like the food, you might not be satisfied, but when it's something which is good for your body, good to the taste, you're satisfied upon consuming that. And the word belly here is not speaking of the flesh man, but the spirit man, your innermost being, shall be satisfied with the fruit of your mouth. Or the very words you would speak are going to produce fruit. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Now the word filled is also the same word as satisfied in the Hebrew. So we can kind of say it interchangeably. A man's belly will be filled by way of the fruit that his mouth is producing. Or the innermost part of us is filled and satisfied by way of the words we speak producing fruit, will be filled. And there will be increase of his lips, which that word in Hebrew also speaks to harvest. Harvest. Now, if you're going to be filled with food, you have to first have a harvest of the food. So the man's belly, your innermost being, will be satisfied with a fruit that's going to be the product of your words. And there will be a harvest in your life from the words that you speak. There is a harvest in our spirit. Now that corresponds to the sower sows the word, and it would bring forth fruit in our life. The parable of the sower Jesus gave corresponds with this. If you don't like the fruit of your life, you need to change the seeds. Our words are going to produce a harvest in our life, both within us and in the people around us, our relationships, our home, and so forth. We're producing something. Now, when you combine that with verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can produce death. You can produce sadness, sorrow, anger, hatred. You can produce these things, or you could produce love, joy, peace, strength, stability, life. We will produce something. We've been given the creative power of God. He created the heavens and the earth with his word, and we create our world with our word, whether it's good or evil. Many times people don't like the fruit that they're eating, and they get angry about it. But we need to take responsibility and endeavor to change it. And in order to change what you're partaking of in life, we're going to have to change our words, which means we'll have to change our thinking. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, you will speak that which you believe. Now, we can try to speak other things, but eventually what's going to come out is what you really believe. As I say that, I'm reminded of something. It was Dr. Cho, 1985. I heard him in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I felt it was a great honor to be able to go out there and to sit under his ministry. And at that time, and it's probably still true today, he pastored the largest church in the world. It was like 750,000 back then. Now, obviously, he had a lot of help. But he was the senior pastor. And he was a very simple man, and concerning when he was asked, well, what's your key to success? He says, I pray and I obey. That's his whole success formula in three words, pray and obey. And it's funny, a lot of the pastors going there were looking for some profound, you know, long formulas and methods and all that. And he says, I pray and I obey. But another thing that came out during that time, he shared how the Spirit of God put on his heart to go to Japan and minister to the Japanese pastors. So he was actually endeavoring to learn Japanese, and he had a meeting set up, thousands and thousands, like 10,000 Japanese pastors and leaders. And he stands up before them and he looks out. And this is the man of God, pastoring the largest church in the world. And he looks out and sees them, and all that comes out of his mouth, three words, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. That's all he could say. I hate you over and over. Now, the amazing thing is, how was this guy used of the Lord to do all that he did, yet he had hatred in his heart? Now, that just shows you, you don't have to be perfect for God to use you. And if he's using you, that's not a validation everything's right that you think or do. But he's saying this, and the reason was that he had this in his heart. When he was a boy during World War II, he watched the Japanese kill his family brutally. You know, some might have been hacked to death, but I know a lot of them, the immediate, were buried alive. And, you know, they tend to bayonet them and then throw them in a hole and bury them alive while they're still alive. And as a boy, he saw this. There was an American missionary, I forget his name right now, he went and got Paul Yonggi Cho out of a garbage dump, that's where he was surviving at, and raised him up and mentored him. But he still had this hatred in his heart from when he was a boy, watching the brutality of the Japanese soldiers, and on a personal level, murder his family. And he didn't realize he was harboring this unforgiveness all those years. But eventually it came out of his mouth. When he had to stand before these people who represented these soldiers' nation, that's all he could say. And the Spirit of God moved on these Japanese pastors. And they began to weep, and they all came forward asking him forgiveness for the sins of their fathers. And there was a breakthrough and a reconciliation. Now, when that came out of his mouth, he had a decision to make, Dr. Cho. Am I going to be cleansed? Am I going to forgive and be cleansed? Or am I going to hang on to the sins of the forefathers of these people? Wasn't even their sin. It was the sins of their fathers in this war. And he had a decision to make, and he forgave them. And he confessed forgiveness to them publicly, and they confessed the request for forgiveness for the sins of their fathers. And the power of the Word of God that day brought a change. But you see, he had that was there all along, but eventually it came out the mouth. And that's how you know what's inside. Listen to what comes out the mouth. Sometimes people say things mean, and then they'll cover up by saying, oh, I was just joking. No, you weren't. You meant that. But people throw off any accountability with sarcasm or saying, well, it was just a joke. What's your problem? Why are you so sensitive? You got the problem. No, buddy, you have the problem speaking words of sin and mocking someone or jesting or, you know, whatever it would be. So you have words can tear down, words can bring build up. In the moment of time, as you hear something come out, there can be a strengthening of faith. There could be a tearing down of someone. There could be a release of the power of God. But as we hear that confession, we will know where we're at. And then we have the decision to make. And that's the way it was with Dr. Cho. And he forgave them. And that lifted off of him. He was carrying that around, and wasn't even realizing it. You see, you can begin to harden yourself to your own actions and words. And just, if you excuse it long enough, you can begin to harden yourself. And then you might have people try to tell you about it and you don't hear. You're deaf. And you might get to where people don't bother anymore and you just remain in that. Well, our words are powerful. They will produce a fruit, either a fruit you'll enjoy or a fruit you will despise. You will be filled with the harvest of the seeds you sow by your words. So we can speak forth words of life, the word of God, and experience life and power, or we can speak forth words that hurt and destroy. Now, the sad thing is many people grow up hearing and learning words of death and destruction. So they're just acting out what they grew up hearing. That doesn't excuse someone. It merely explains it. This is why they're acting this way. But they'll still have to deal with it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we can either love the word of God or love words that mock and bring death and are destructive. And again, there may be some of you that there were words you heard as a child that still hang over your head. Those things can be broken, like words like you're a failure, you'll never amount to anything, you're a whatever, misfit, you're this or that or the other. And it hurts people so deeply when they're young. If you have any of that, set yourself to break the power of those words in your life and in your soul. It may involve forgiveness, but in any case, we need to see ourselves as God sees us and then connect with the reality of that by the power of our words. Let's go to Psalm 62. I love Psalm 62. I usually go to this psalm when I want to teach on values. That's not what I'm teaching today. Psalm 63, excuse me. Psalm 63. They're very closely related. But verse 3 says, thy loving kindness is better than life, so my lips will praise thee. And that's where I'll proceed from about values. Some things have greater value than life itself. And it's on that basis a person may run into a burning building to save their child. They may do something that would be viewed as very courageous, very even dangerous, but it's because the value of a human life. They may fight to the death to save their child or their spouse or someone. But as we read on, he says, thus will I bless thee while I lived. I will lift up my hands in your name. I'm going to praise the Lord because there's nothing better than him and his DNA, his character of love. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied. There that is again. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Now, in our society, we tend to avoid eating a high-fat diet. Various reasons. But what's kind of funny when you really look at it, the fat's viewed as the precious thing. That's what, you know, stick to the ribs. That's what will satisfy you and fill you, make you stay full. And I remember being in Ukraine in this people's house, and the gentleman there was asking me, what did I like to eat? And I'm saying things. What would you like for breakfast? I said, well, I really like bacon and eggs. And he says to me, oh, bacon. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't give you bacon. And he has this jar with just a big hunk of hog fat in it, saturating in a brine of salt water. And I'm thinking to myself, thank you, Jesus, that I didn't just get served a hunk of fat, because in his mind it wasn't ready yet, and that's bacon. Of course, bacon is fat, but I like it crisp. But in a lot of ways, the fat is like the esteem thing. That's the thing that gets really the best part of the meal for people. And there's a fullness that would come as a result of that. So he says, my soul will be satisfied like I'm eating, this steak with meat with fat falling off of it and all of that. I'm not a fat eater per se, but I'm just trying to bring a little light here to the thing here of I'll be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. For some people, that's the desirable thing. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. To meditate is to speak to yourself. We speak the word to ourselves and thus end up with a harvest from that word we would speak to ourselves. It's good to talk to yourself. The Bible teaches us that. That's meditating. Speaking the word of God to ourselves. Now, you might not want to try that in public because people might think they need to call the authorities because this guy is crazy. We don't know what else he's going to do. I have to laugh. I laughed myself when the wireless phones with the earpiece came out. And I go in a store and somebody's talking and I think they're talking to me. And I didn't realize, because it was a new device yet at that time, I didn't realize they're talking to somebody else on their phone. And I'm answering a stranger in the store, in their conversation. And, oh my. So now I'm kind of on to that. People, they're not talking to themselves. They're not talking to me. They're talking to somebody else. But for us, in our private time, part of what we do should be talking to ourselves the word of God, because we understand the power of his word. We understand life and death are in the power of the tongue. We'll be satisfied with a harvest based on the word that we are speaking to ourselves. You can frame your own heart and your own life by the word. You have the power to speak. If you don't speak it, then you're at the mercy of whoever else is talking into your ear. And a lot of times it's not good stuff. Sometimes you might have somebody who does speak words of encouragement. But don't sit and wait around, wallow, nobody came to encourage me. Encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what David did. Speak the word to yourself. Meditate. And he says, when I remember you on my bed. And I shared this last week, but I'm going to go to Isaiah 50 once again in light of this scripture. And verse 4 is a prophecy of Jesus. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that's weary. You need God's help to know how to talk to people. You don't just say whatever comes into your head. You don't say what you feel. Love would say, how will I bless this person? Lord, give me the words to speak. He says, he wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. And I'd share with you to be still before the Lord when you first wake up. That's prime time hearing from God. But also in that, to speak to yourself the word, to sow the word to your heart. Now, in Psalm 63, do it in the night, when you lie down. Be still and listen, and also speak to yourself when you wake up. And you will find, if you'll do that, you will find it change your life. Now, if you're one who stays up too late, sets an alarm, gets up, has to jump out of bed to get to work on time, you'll never experience this. There is a simple solution to that problem. Just go to bed earlier. How simple is that? Well, I can't. You can. You'll have to train your body to it. Your body might not want to go to sleep a little bit earlier, but you can set yourself in that direction to do that. Don't watch a horror movie, which I'm sure y'all don't anyway. Don't do things that are going to get you all wound up and then lay down. You can't go to sleep. But while you do lay there, there's something to do. It's to meditate the word of God, which is to mutter it to yourself, to speak it to yourself. That's awesome. Expect to hear from God. What do you expect? Do we expect to hear from God? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." So expect that. He'll speak to you. Expect his word to bring forth a new harvest different from the one that you're partaking of right now in your life. Let's go to Romans 10:10. Romans 10:10, and actually I'll start verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord of your life, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now the work being done here is a work by God. There is a principle of believe and confess. And we have to always make sure anything we would view as a doctrine is only based on the word and not experience. So you could have someone, and they're at a church service, and they get under conviction, and there's a call made to give your heart to the Lord, and they roll on the floor and bark like a dog and come up to what people would call the altar, and they say, "Jesus, I believe you are raised from the dead. I ask you to forgive my sin. Come into my life. I ask you to be Lord of my life." Now, what caused the change and for them to be saved? It was part three. It wasn't rolling on the floor, and it wasn't barking like a dog. And there are people that will make doctrines, including their whole experience of the moment, and not recognize they acted on the word, and it was the word that did it. Only the word's going to produce fruit in your life or bring a harvest. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. Doctrines only by the word, not by experience. Now, our experiences, if you can evaluate them properly, may speak to what the word did in our life, but we don't make the doctrine by the experience. And the principle here is faith. The word of faith, which the previous verse says, the word of faith we preach. And when we have faith, we believe something first, and then we will begin to speak that, thus connecting with God or releasing the power of God. And this principle rolls over to everything. All that God would promise us, whether it's to be safe from our sin, forgiven, to be healed, to be delivered from demonic influence, to partake of peace, to partake of joy, to partake of strength in our spirit man, to partake of whatever he has for us, godliness, to partake, we need to first believe that that's God's will. Believe that that's the very character and heartbeat of God. He wants us to have that. And then we begin to speak that forth to our life. It's not enough just to know about things, but we need to be doers of the word and speak that forth to our life, thus making the connection with heaven. So I want to go to Matthew 16. I'm giving you some basic teaching today. However, we need to be certain we are walking in the light of it and applying it to our life and not just having the knowledge of it. Because again, only acting on it, doing it, is going to produce any fruit. Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So he gets an answer out of them. Well, some people are saying, "You're John the Baptist back from the dead, or Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." So he said, "But who do you say that I am?" Now, this is the bottom line in our relation to God, is who do we say that he is? Who is he to our life? and with any area of our life. Who is he to that area of my life? Concerning my salvation, he is the Christ. He is the Son of God. Concerning my body, he is my healer. That's what I know him to be. He is healer. He is healing. It's not just something he does. He is. He is love. I'm born of a spirit. I'm born of love. Love's on the inside of me. He is my peace, the Lord my peace. It's not something I'm trying to like get from out there somewhere. It's not something that's in a place. Peace, true peace in your soul comes from him. So what do we believe about the Lord concerning our life? His Holy Spirit has been sent to guide me in truth. I believe that. So I expect that. So I'm going to speak it. He wants to speak to us. I believe that. So I'm going to speak that forth, releasing my faith for that part of his ministry in my life. You see, we don't want to just wait until we're in trouble. Then we're going to speak the word and try to get out of trouble or out of pain or out of... Now God's faithful. He'll still get you out of trouble. But that's not how it works. He's our life. We sow the words about him and what he has done and what he wants to do and what he is doing. His whole ministry, we sow those to our spirit man. And it's going to bring a harvest where we are satisfied in that. There is a peace, a satisfaction. Now, I want to pose to you, think about something. Are you living life satisfied? If you look to the flesh for that which only the Spirit can give, you're never satisfied. Lust is never satisfied. Hell will be never being satisfied. Someone in hell. And God's satisfaction is there. And the sooner we realize satisfaction of my innermost being is not of this world, the sooner we can see that, the sooner we'll stop looking to the world and really look to him. So the harvest of the word that we speak to ourselves and over our life is going to bring a satisfaction. I mean, you're just content just right where you are today, wherever that is. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to have anything because you have him. Now, God will, you know, ordain for our life as times you do go places or have things. But those elements do not satisfy the soul. One way you'll know you're looking to something of the flesh is when you do that. It won't be long thereafter you're thinking about, I got to do it again. So you have a drug addict. I mean, they're no sooner finished coming down off their high that they're thinking about getting high again. Or the drunk, or with sex, or with places, nice places, and fun things to do and all that. The way you know it's got you, you're going to be riding home from wherever you like to go as you're thinking about the next time you're going to do that. Because when you're really satisfied, you don't think like that. So whether you do or don't do doesn't really matter. So we endeavor just to follow the Lord. So the harvest of our words will bring us satisfaction. Let's back here in Matthew 16. Who do you say that I am? And out of Peter's spirit comes, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And those words were filled with power. And Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. The things of the Spirit are only revealed by the Spirit of God himself. You can come and hear me and I can teach you the truth of the word of God. But if you're not looking to him to impart something to you and reveal to you, you might hear the words I say, but it doesn't go into you. See that we have to take personal responsibility for that. And that's why before I begin to teach, I pray the way I do. Hopefully you come into agreement with that. And that's your prayer as well. For God to guide me in truth. To give me wisdom and understanding, to impart strength to my inner man, to bring conviction into my heart, to strengthen me in my faith. That should be your prayer, even before you come. It should be our prayer every day. Well, he says, man didn't reveal, but my Father in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Jesus will, it is going to happen, build up. He's a builder up, not a tearer down. His, it belongs to him. He shed his blood. He purchased the church, his people. Jesus is in the building business. And he does it by the revelation of the word confessed or spoken forth. That's how it works. Again, just knowing about this is not enough. This has to become something we do. And you wouldn't like do that all day long, because you have to do other things in life as well. But it's wise for us to begin and end our day. I mean, if you have other times, praise the Lord, but to begin and end your day with some measure of speaking the word to yourself over your life, speaking your expectation, speaking the promise of God, speaking of who he is, speaking of what he's doing in you. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The power of God's word is greater than the power of everything the devil would want to do. That's why I don't focus on the devil. And you can't be ignorant about his ways and what he's doing. But we magnify the word of God. We magnify Jesus Christ. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And the keys of the kingdom are two things that were not available under the old covenant: the gift of righteousness and the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of righteousness, he takes sin out, that then the Holy Spirit can come in. And God himself brings the impartation of the things of the kingdom of God. The byproduct of this, or what will result, what you can enter into, is whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And these words in the Greek, speaking to tie together, connect, or break something apart, destroy it. The word loose is the same one also used that God's going to melt the heavens, dissolve the heavens. He will, same word as destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8. So you mix all these concepts together, and to loose something is to bring it to nothing, to like dissolving sugar into a cup of tea, to melt the snow, to dissolve something, or to destroy it. And the works of the enemy need to be destroyed from their having any power in our life. And sometimes it's a lie, or it's a word, or it's an accusation, and it has power over people, where he's saying, you can't do this, or you'll never become that. And we need to break the power of those words that carry death and connect to God, connect to heaven. The Bible shows us some pictures of heaven, and the pictures all show all created beings that are there worshiping and glorifying him. So as we enter into worship like we did today, that's thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven. Now, whether you entered in or not was up to you. That's a personal decision on your part. But I found it very easy to enter in. Yeah, with worship team and the anointing of the Spirit there on that, to enter in. So for me, I can only speak for myself. For me, I'm having thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven, the worship of God. And with that, within the presence of God, there the fruit of his Spirit is manifest in that, where there is peace and joy. Now, if you're harboring some sin against someone, or in fear or worry, whatever, you might not enter into that, but it's there. It was there. The opportunity's there to connect with heaven. So I cherish that. I miss so badly when I go on a missions trip and I'm not here for worship that Sunday. Oh, I miss that so much. To begin with, it's not easy to worship hearing words in another language. But aside from that, just being where he's called me, with who he's called me, doing what he's called me to do, ministering to him. And then the byproduct of that, or the fruit of that, is the presence of God and what that would bring to you personally that day. I mentioned the other week I was getting like blood pressure checked or something or other, EKG or something. And the doctor says, go to your happy place. And the reason is, if you're anxious, your blood pressure will read higher. Go to your happy place. And I never had someone tell me that before, so I never thought about it. I mean, maybe that's a term that's used a lot in the world. I don't know. But I never had someone tell me, go to your happy place. I mean, it almost seems like you're bad. Go in a corner or something. Go to your happy place. Go to your happy place. Get happy. But the reason it was being said to me was, you know, that would be calming to you. Don't think about you're in a doctor's office or medical center. Think about the fact you're in your happy place. And there's peace and joy there. So I'm thinking briefly, my happy place? What's my happy place? And immediately in my spirit, my happy place, standing right here, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ in the place he called me, with the people he called me, at the time it's appointed, that's my happy place. Because that's where I most experience the presence of God. That's why. There's nothing going to bring joy like that. Psalm 16 is at verse 10 says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. So that's my happy place. Man, I can't wait to come to church Sunday morning. Yeah, I teach and I enjoy that too, but even, for me, even more so personally, just come worship the Lord. Come into my happy place. And that happy place is available actually wherever we're at, but that's our eternal destiny, happy place. Now, for someone who's arrogant, proud, who has an agitation towards God, to go to heaven would be torment because everything's glorifying God. That would be torment to them. Selah, think about that. Well, he says here, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So this speaks to what's the verses there in Proverbs, that the words are life and death, power to life and death. We can connect by way of our confession. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Words are the one thing that exist in spirit and in the natural. You hear them, you see them. You know, on your Bible, you see them, you hear me speaking right now. But they are also spirit and life. And it's by words we connect with heaven. By words we connect in the spirit. By words we connect with God. By words you can connect with evil, with Satan. So we can be very purposed. God has given us the keys of the kingdom. The Holy Spirit is available. And as we believe upon Jesus Christ, he comes within us and he'll reveal the things of the kingdom. Then we have the opportunity, we can apply what he's revealed to our life. And it's by the word of God. I'm very grateful that early on in my spiritual walk, I listened to these principles being taught from men like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Charles Capps, and others, R.W. Schambach. Very grateful because I took it to heart. And I would be speaking the word to myself because I had done some jobs that were more just physical, monotonous in a sense. You had to sort of pay attention a little bit. You didn't hurt yourself, but I could do that. And I would do that all day long as a young man. And that season of my life had a lot to do with me growing to be able to go on in other things God had for me. To be speaking the word to myself. This kind of thing we need to hear every so often. Might say, well, I heard you share that before. Well, that's good. Let's make sure you're doing it. And you see, the things of the enemy, they can be broken. Unforgiveness can be dissolved by the simple words that I forgive you as the Lord Jesus has forgiven me. I forgive you. Very simple. When it comes to sickness and disease, to hold fast a confession. You're going to go through things at times in your life. To hold fast the confession. And really, there's no reason to be afraid, even though something could kill you. Something could destroy you, could kill you. But I'm going to hold fast to the word that God is healing. He's provided it for me. It's there for me. So therefore, I'm going to be speaking that over my body. I'm not going to deny the reality of whatever I'm dealing with. It's not denial, but rather speaking faith to our body and in expecting the Holy Spirit to give any wisdom to show you what to do if you need to do something or change something. Sometimes, you know, we might have a sickness or something and there's something you need to change or take out from your body so that healing can come in. So as Brother Arthur used to say, faith and wisdom need to be married. Well, we can make a connection with heaven. We can make a connection with the promises of God. It's by the very words that we would speak. We need to guard our heart. We need to abide in the word, fill ourselves with the word, meditate when we wake up, meditate when we lie down at night, and allow a new harvest into our life. That the power of his word will actually change and transform us where we can look back and say, wow, I am free in these areas and I didn't even really notice even when it happened. It was happening over that time as you're speaking the word to yourself. So life and death and the power of the tongue, it's there for us to appropriate in our life.